then he goes, thanks be to God who delivered me through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's it right there. That's the heartbeat of this message today. The answer isn't in our behavior. It's in our Savior. Struggle means that you're still in the fight. When you surrender, it means you know who already won. Let that one sink in. If you're still struggling, you're still fighting. When you surrender, you already know who won. You ever seen those street performers? They got the sticks and the plates, and they start spinning the plates. They got all these plates spinning. And they're trying not to let them fall, and they're rushing from one to the other and spinning them and trying to keep them all spinning before one crashes. It's kind of mesmerizing, but it's a little bit exhausting too, isn't it? Trying to spin all these plates. Now that doesn't sound like life to me. Spinning all these plates, trying to keep them all from falling over, falling down and breaking. You know, we try to spin the God plate, right? We try to go to church every Sunday. We try to pray more often, read our Bibles more, volunteer more. We spin that plate. Then we got our spouses. We try to spin those plates. Then we got our kids. We spin those plates. We got our careers, we spin those plates. Our friends, we spin those plates. Our finances, we spin those plates. And before you know it, one of the plates starts to wobble and you sprint over to fix it. That sounds pretty darn exhausting to me. The problem isn't that you've got too many plates. The problem is that you're the one trying to spin them all. We're all familiar with the Christian priorities list, right? You've seen the list, right? A lot of times it's God at the top. Spouse, children, friends, career, finances. But there's an issue with this. There's an issue with this. It separates God into his own little category. God needs to be in the center of every single one of those categories. Not in his own little box, because then we come in and we check the box. We say, okay, God, I prayed and I read my Bible this morning. No, when you go to work, God, I want you to be in my work today. Give me somebody I can share my faith with. Give me somebody who's struggling today I can speak words of life into. That's what putting God in each one of those boxes look like. And again, Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you as well. God's not supposed to be number one on that list. He's supposed to be the center of every single one. When God's in the center of all these things, the plates don't spin on their own. They move in sync. Your marriage, your career, your finances, they all find purpose and alignment. But because we've got, not because you've got superhuman talent or focus, but because you've got God-centered guidance. When God is at the center, the questions shift. How does God at the center of my church give me purpose? How does God at the center impact my marriage? How does God in the center affect my career? How does God in the center guide my finances? He should be in the middle of each one of those things. Guardrails are not about making a list of do's and don'ts either. They're about lining every area of life with God's purpose. Jesus didn't come to make you better at managing this list. He came to give you life and life to the fullest. So the question isn't, how do I keep all the plates spinning? The question is who's holding the stick? If it's you, you're going to burn out. which burnout leads to old behavior. It's a comfort. But if it's God, he's going to give you the strength, direction, and grace to keep you and keep everything else steady. Wow, that was the first point. Guardrails with purpose. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." If you're, here we go. If you are a born-again disciple of Jesus, we represent something greater than ourselves. It's not about you any longer. It's not about me any longer. When we give our life to Christ, we don't just get a ticket into heaven. We are commissioned by Jesus to carry his message to the world. We are now ambassadors. Paul says it clearly there. We are ambassadors. Your life speaks louder than your words because it reflects who saved you and who commissioned you. Whenever you go, wherever you go, whatever you do, you are the message. Your life is the message, and the message should look different than anything else. Not better, just different. Different is how you love, how you forgive, how you manage your stress, and even how you manage your money. Your life should speak volumes to those around you. And the people around you should say, "Man, there's something different about her. Man, there's something different about him. What do they have that I don't? I gotta have what they have." If the world is watching, let them see the gospel in action through your life. Let's look at it this way. The ambassador represents a kingdom, right? You got ambassadors that go and talk to different countries and all that stuff. An ambassador represents the kingdom, a nation, a cause. Just like we represent the kingdom of God in our actions. If our actions don't reflect our king, if what we say and do don't reflect our king and what he tells us to do, commands us to do, people are going to question who we really serve. The gospel should be more than just something we believe. It should be something that changes everything about us. From our behavior to our boundaries to our marriages, when the gospel truly gets a hold of our life, it changes the way we think, the way we speak, the way we respond, how we interact with the world. You don't need to go on a mission trip to be an ambassador. Your mission field is right here where you are. You may be the only person, the only Bible that somebody ever reads. So make sure your life is the gospel in motion. Make sure that your life and the gospel is shining through you, because you may be the only person. Here's where it gets hard. Actions amplify our faith. I told you guys I love James. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. I wrote it like this: your actions are the megaphone that make your faith heard. Words without action are empty, but a life lived in obedience to God is a loud and clear testimony of the gospel's power. As James teaches, faith that does not move us to action is dead. Living out our faith involves putting up guardrails, boundaries, grounded in Scripture, that keeps us on the path to righteousness. These guardrails protect our relationships, our witness, and our unity as the body of Christ. There has been a threat that has been trying to destroy the church and its testimony for over 2,000 years, and it's called disunity. Paul addresses this threat in almost every letter to the church. Jesus even prayed for his followers to be one, as he and the Father are one, in John 17, 21. Our unity and love for one another is the witness to the world. When people allow pride, backbiting, and unresolved issues to cause division, it damages the relationship and distorts the reflection of God through his church. Guardrails of forgiveness, speech, humility are essential for maintaining the unity that God, that glorifies God. Forgiveness. Man, I don't know about you, but I love the idea of forgiveness till I have to practice it. Forgiveness is the foundation of unity. Jesus commands us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. If God forgave us, how can we not forgive others? Without forgiveness, relationships fracture and the bitterness takes root. It's easy to ask for God's forgiveness. It's a little bit harder to ask forgiveness here. Some of us need to ask forgiveness for ourselves. I struggle with that one sometimes. It's harder for me to forgive myself. Guardrails on forgiveness involve quickly addressing offenses, refusing to hold grudges, and seeking reconciliation as ambassadors of Christ. All this is from God in 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are to do this. This is ministry reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Forgiveness is not just for personal peace, but for the health of the church. We need to have guardrails on our talk, our mouth, our words, our speech. Words are powerful. And careless speech can cause disunity, pain. It's funny because we can praise God and tell him how much we love him, but then turn around and talk bad about somebody the next few minutes later. Isn't that funny? We can use our mouth to glorify our Heavenly Father and then turn around and say bad things. The tongue has the power of life and death. Guardrails against harmful speech means committing to speak life, avoid gossip, and refuse to participate in conversations that tear others down. Guard your words ensures that our communications build unity and reflects God's love. Humility. Guardrails and humility. Pride is the greatest cause of disunity. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. I already said earlier, it's not about you. It's about God's kingdom, his glory, his purpose, his righteousness. It's about him. But we want to make things about us. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Guardrails of humility involve putting others' needs before your own. Being quick to listen. And seeking to understand rather than be understood. Humility creates space for unity to flourish and mirrors the example of Jesus, who humbled himself for us. Think of it this way. A symphony orchestra. Each instrument plays its own different role and different tune. When they all play, when everybody plays in harmony, the results are beautiful, breathtaking. However, if even one musician decides to go their own way, the entire performance suffers. This unity is like that discordant note in this God's symphony. Guardrails ensure that we stay in tune with the one another, creating a melody that reflects the beauty of Christ to the world. So let me give you some application here. Forgiveness. Identify any relationships in your life where forgiveness is needed. And try to take a step towards reconciliation. Did you know unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping the other person will die? It's only hurting you when you don't forgive. Remember that forgiveness is optional. It's not optional. It is commanded by Jesus. Speech, Ephesians 4:29. I've set it up here before. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that those who will listen will benefit. I got that one memorized too. My kids got that one memorized. Before you speak, ask yourself, will this build up or will it tear down? Commit to speaking words that bring life and healing. Avoid gossip or criticism, even in moments of frustration. In humility, reflect on how you can value others above yourself. Practice active listening and seek to understand other people's perspective. Pray for a heart that is prioritized in the prayer and praying with Jesus. Pray for a heart that prioritizes the prayer that Jesus shared. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil. When we take the focus off us and put it on him, things change. Everything changes. Not having guardrails weakens the witness of the church. That's why I'm giving these to you. These are important topics. These are non-negotiables. I could unpack a whole, I could probably read for 10 minutes every piece of scripture that revolves around those three things. Humility, unforgiveness, speech. Not having guardrails weakens the witness of the church. But when united, rooted in love and humility, it glorifies God. Let's be a people who forgive freely, speak life, and walk humbly, guarding the unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. When we live with guardrails, we protect the message of Christ. Oh, man. Okay, here we go. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to drive a car with bad alignment? It doesn't matter how nice the car is or how careful you steer. If the alignment is off, you're constantly fighting the wheel to stay on the in your lane. And eventually, if you don't fix it, you wreck the tires or even worse. That's what it's like when you live for God with a misaligned heart. Constantly fighting. God isn't as concerned about whether you're staying in the lines as he is about whether your heart is pointed in the right direction. Because your heart drives everything else. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart. Why? Because some things you do flow from it. Wrong. Everything you do flows from your heart. God's guardrails are there to restrict your freedom. They're there to protect your purpose. Let me say it again. Look at that. It says everything you do flows from your heart. Your attitude, your actions, your relations, even your walk with Jesus flows from your heart. It all starts with what's happening right here. And here's what he's saying. I want your heart because if I've got your heart, I've got your everything. When God is at the center, everything else falls into place. The goal here is not perfection. It's pursuit. We're going to stumble. We're going to hit potholes. But his grace is there to catch us every single time. It's not about don't mess up. It's about seek first his kingdom. So maybe today you feel like your life is a little bit out of alignment. Like you're doing everything that you can to keep it together. But it feels like the wheel is jerking to the side and won't stop. Let me remind you, God does not expect you to drive perfectly. He's asking you to let him take the wheel. Ooh, that's hard. What, God, you don't need my help? You got all this? He's asking you to let him take the wheel, because when your heart is aligned with him, he'll make sure you stay the course. And our fifth one, guardrails. From boundaries to breakthroughs. Guardrails aren't just boundaries, they're blessings. We think that because we get tied into something, that we're restricted by things. But in reality, they're blessings. They're not about controlling you. They're about calling you into a deeper relationship with Jesus through obedience. These aren't restrictions. They're redirections. What feels like a restriction now becomes your best redirection to what he wants. God's guardrails aren't to stifle your freedom. They're there to unleash your potential in his purpose. God's guardrails aren't obstacles to your freedom. They're pathways to your purpose. Let me go back to that GPS analogy. You ever been driving? Ignore the GPS? Because you think you know a better way? And next thing you know, you hit a dead end. Or you ended up in a toll road. Interstate toll, you know. Get this. When you decide to go your own way, the GPS voice isn't saying, you went the wrong way. Turn around right now. It's saying, redirecting. Redirecting. Recalculating. I don't know what yours says. That's how God works. His guardrails are there to protect you from your dead ends and your disasters. Not to limit your journey, but to lead you into your destiny. And even when you ignore them, His grace whispers, recalculating, redirecting. Your detour does not disqualify you. God's guardrails are built with grace to bring you back. Check this out. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight. This is the ultimate guardrail. Trusting God to direct your steps even when you don't understand the path. Yep, I get that one. Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Redirecting. God's voice is a guardrail. Always guiding, always redirecting, always leading us back to Him. Here's the challenge. Guardrails aren't just about protecting where you're going. They're about shaping who you're becoming. If I want the same thing, what's the same? If you want the same results, keep doing the same thing. God's purpose isn't simply to keep you from falling. It's to guide you towards a life centered on Him. When God is at the center of your church, your family, your friends, your marriage, your finances, everything else will start falling into place. But to truly live this out, we need forgiveness, humility, and grace. Not just from God, but in how we treat other people. Forgiveness is the guardrail that keeps bitterness from taking over. Humility is the guardrail that keeps us thinking it's not always about being right, but about being righteous. And how we speak to and about others, our words become the guardrails that build up rather than tear down. Take a moment and ask yourself, are your relationships marked by forgiveness? Is your speech full of grace? Are you walking in humility, ready to admit when you're wrong? These are the guardrails that allow God to work not just around you, but in you. God's Spirit is still at work in our life, even when you've heard. Even when you veer off course, let's say it that way, He whispers, recalculating, redirecting. He's calling you back to His purpose. His forgiveness is waiting to restore. His grace is ready to sustain, and His humility is ready to lead the way. So today, let's close in prayer. I want you guys to repeat this with me. Heads bowed, eyes shut. God, forgive me when I have fallen short. Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins and rose again on the third day, offering me the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the center of my life and guide me back to your purpose. Teach me to speak life, to walk humbly, and to love like you. Be the center of my church, my marriage, my family, my friendships, my career, and my finances. Build your guardrails around my heart and transform me from the inside out. Everyone says, amen. The road may be narrow at times. That hill might be so tall that you're not even sure you can make it to the top. It seems so steep. But the destination is life. And God is with us every step of the way. Let Him guide your hearts, shape your relationships, and lead us into a purpose that only He can fulfill. A reminder, thank you for letting me be here, doing this with you guys. January 23rd, 6 p.m., if this is home, be here. We're going to talk about the future of my position here. We're going to talk about the future and vision of this church. And if you call this home, you need to be here. We'd encourage you to be here. So I'm just laying it out there that way. I love you guys. I trust God. My wife trusts God. We trust in His plan, His purpose. And that's all I'm going to say. Love you guys. I'm going to go home and eat a bunch of cough drops now. I made it through. Love you guys. Again, we're not doing sweets or treats because there's just been so much sickness going around. I mean, it's just been going everywhere. So I thank you guys for coming. Either you're over it or I just got you sick. I don't know which one it is. But we love you guys. Thanks. Have a great week.